No, they can be.
Yeah, they can be. And, you know, in relation to, you know, what's there in terms of the system, we've got 45% of the water leaking out through pipes. We've got lead pipes. We've got asbestos pipes in the ground. And yet in all the government plan, and this goes back again to the bailout, which unfortunately, whether Charlie wants to deal with it or not, Fianna Fáil signed up under the bailout agreement to water charges. And the solution internationally appeared to be within Ireland, look, you can get another form of tax out of Irish people by charging them for water. No consideration was given to the quality of the supply which people had. And going forward, that is the main issue and the main difficulty people have on principle, that the supply is not up to standard.
It's bigger than that in Donegal, because these charges affect people right across the board, obviously. €260 for your water charges, two family household, your property tax on average about €240. So, like, that's €500 that's coming out of people's pockets, and it's €500 we're committed to putting back into people's pockets by abolishing those charges. But why is it more acute in Donegal? Why is it more severe in Donegal? Because if you live in Donegal, you're likely to have, statistically, 75% the disposable income of anywhere else in the country. So, basically, every single year, and what this has been going on under Fine Gael and under Fianna Fáil under the last 10 years, that if you're living in Donegal, you will have 25% less money in your pocket than what the average is in the country. If you live in Donegal, you're more likely to be unemployed. If you live in Donegal, you're more likely to have worse health outcomes. So these type of flat rate charges, instead of a fair taxation system, you know, these guys
But most people think that Sinn Féin are looking to get rid of everything.
No, we're not. But see, that's the key.
I'm giving you an opportunity.
5 months ago, I went into an RTÉ studio, and I was asked a question about the USC, and we know that the USC is a hated tax, right? And we campaigned to get a lot of people out of the USC, and we're still committed to taking over 250,000 people out of the USC. But we decided that we will not abolish USC because €4 billion is needed. But how do we actually, and the people who will benefit from abolishing the USC will be the most wealthiest. It's not just me that's saying it. The IMF criticised this government's plan of what they've already done in terms of the USC, saying that...
Yeah, but you're not against introducing taxes that are punishing to everybody. I mean, the sugar tax. We're talking about, say, 45 million. That's taxing the desperately poor, the exact same as it's taxing the very, very rich.
Carbonated drinks is a tax that is worth introducing because it will lead to better health outcomes.
Across the board tax.
Of course it is. Yeah. The reason you're introducing that tax isn't to actually raise money. It's to change behavioural attitude.
Does it do that, though?
It does, and if you raise it at a certain level. And the biggest actual killer that's going to be in this country in the next couple of years is in relation to obesity. So, like, this is something about being responsible. But if instead of abolishing €4 billion of tax takes, which, as I said, the IMF says goes to the families, 50% of it goes to families above €70,000. What we want to do is free GP care, free cap and childcare at 150, get rid of university costs, third level costs, free prescription charges, putting in place the consultants, the doctors, the nurses, reducing class sizes, 4,000 additional teachers within our system. All of this is possible if you do not do what yous are doing.
Is it possible, Devin McGinn?
Definitely is possible through higher taxation.
No, just not getting rid of the USC.
It's about taxing the people who are making an effort.
62%
For somebody
earning above €100,000.
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been peddling this thing that you can pay less tax and you can have better services. The two don't square up. If you want to have very poor services, we can pay less taxes, no doubt about that.
Okay.
And we have to fund the services we have there. And in relation to the water charges and the water metering, I mean, this government has spent €450 million at least installing meters across the country, where not one leak has been fixed in relation to that. That €450 million could have been invested in district metering on the water networks, which would actually identify the leaks and actually fix those leaks. And that's what that €450 million could have been spent on.
You talked earlier on, Deputy McHugh, about the live register, okay? I mean, I'm not... It's not for me to say, but, I mean, most of the people I know aren't here anymore. They have left. Now, maybe that's just the circles I operate in, but they... felt they had to leave.
Look, the reality is a lot of parents, a lot of mammies, a lot of daddies listening to this programme tonight still have sons and daughters in Australia, Canada, and that's the reality. Now, I met three lads back from Australia. I met them in Kilcar on Friday night, and they were back up the road from Dublin, spent 5 years in Australia. They're back working in Dublin. And yes, we want them working here in Donegal. And a recovery is not complete until it goes to every region. And it is taking time, but if you look at the statistics, 59% of all jobs created outside of Dublin were, in 2015, were created outside Dublin. Yes, a lot of them went to Galway, a lot of them went to Limerick. Yeah, it's our job, as and whoever gets elected, the five TDs, is to work in this region collectively. There are good stories. There are good companies here. There are 90% of our companies are SMEs, and we need to help them.
You're saying an awful lot about everyone having to work together. Are you saying you felt like an isolated voice, even though you were in government in Donegal then?
No, I actually think I had a good working relationship with Pádraig McGoughlin and Charlie McConnell in Donegal North East. A new county, a new constituency now, whoever the five is elected. But the way I worked in the last 5 years was, if I needed to get roads funding in, for example, Cockhill Bridge in Buncrana, I worked with Pascal Donoghue. If I needed to get money into Gador or into my own parish, Rushkill, you work with the people that actually are in positions of responsibility within various departments.
I mean, if you want to tie in access in all of this as well, maybe that's the problem, that the businesses find it very difficult to operate here, Councillor Desi Shields. But I mean, we did talk earlier on about how there's jobs being created, but what's your view of it? Are people leaving or are there new jobs?
Well, I think it's more a case of that the people are away, aren't coming back, and indeed in relation to this county, and indeed even Letterkenny is supposed to be doing okay, but if you're talking to people on the ground in Letterkenny, it's still very much hard times, and local businesses are always, Donegal people hope for a good summer. That's what we hope for up here. We hope for a good summer so we can exploit the tourism opportunities. The reality is that Donegal is a county, and it's no different in Letterkenny or indeed in the more rural areas. We depend on outside factors, and from my perspective, the most serious outside factor is actually getting funding from government at national level, because Donegal has been the forgotten county and continues to be the forgotten county. It seems when we have a boom, we're the forgotten county. When we're in a recession, a severe recession with austerity, we remain the forgotten county. And I don't think, I've seen and noticed there today that, the Taoiseach has managed to announce another 10 billion euro investment for Knock Airport in his own backyard. Obviously, the election's coming and he's decided to buy some votes. And yet again, we're left with a situation here. Carrickfinn Airport is getting a pittance.
Yeah, but Donegal can't cancer investment.
Yes, and this is the problem with the Fine Gael. No, it's not, Joe. Every criticism, Joe, that you've faced tonight from everybody around this floor, the only thing you've been able to say is that's untrue. Yeah. You never come back and deal with the facts,
okay,
Joe.
Okay, well, fine.
That was a direct challenge.
You're saying nothing came to Donegal during the recession. What about the 5 million that the Gael took it into Randers and Dunloe? What about the 500,000 went into Malinhead for tourism? The tourism never came to Donegal. What about the near million euro that went in between Interreg funding and Fallshare into Fannet Lighthouse? What about all this? What about the 22 million that's going into the Goldrum water supply in Letterkenny? What about the 11 million that went into the Gweebarra Benz? What about the 3 million that went into Cockhill Bridge? So during a very, very tough time, and the 500,000 that went into Arklan Gidor, and that's me when, as a minister for 18 months. Okay. This has been a very tough time in Donegal, but it's untrue to say that money didn't come here.
Can I come back very briefly
there, Greg? The various items which Joe has named there, in the context of this overall county, they're just a pittance. It's going to be possible in any county to list off a few million here and a few million there. And that's what Joe has talked about there. He's talked about some investment in the water supply leading into Letterkenny. Well, Joe, you know what? I don't think you'll find anybody in this county who believes that it's a great news story that we're actually going to have a proper water supply in Letterkenny, one which the environmental protection agency won't have to take Irish water to.
Okay, I'll go around now. Do you think Paula Flanagan that it's telling that not cherry picking what Deputy McKee was saying, but the one investment in terms of job creation is really quite high-end jobs for the most part. I'm not, it's not exclusively that, but, there's mums and dads and families that are listening, and there's that empty chair at the table, that old saying, but it still resonates very much with people. What do you think we should do? How do you think we should address the problem?
Yeah, and something as an adopted person to the county, the entrepreneurial spirit is actually really big in Donegal. We know how to get along. We know how to get things done. I think the SME sector needs to be absolutely supported and really nourished. So this is about employing in all the range of sectors that Donegal's good at. Our agriculture, our fisheries, our food. Look at forestry. Tourism, absolutely important. But start building that now with a view to the future, not just for the next 5 years, but also 10, 15, 20 years. So things like retrofitting homes in Donegal, can you imagine the employment opportunities of retrofitting and ensuring that people are no longer in fuel poverty in this county? Absolutely.
Councillor McGarvey.
Thank you, Greg. Actually, when you look at this thing and hear the discussion here today and hear the conflict between, I would rather live in harmony rather than conflict. Because we can't ignore what's happening. We're only 45% waste management effective here in Donegal. The other thing I want to look at, you see, and we referred to Northern Ireland earlier. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding, if you have a three-bedroom house in Northern Ireland, you're paying maybe £1,500 per year. Now, isn't that the case as well?
But you're not getting, services for that, though.
But, Greg...
I mean, there's people listening and paying £500 on bins alone.
Like, what I was going to say to you, let's include and do a review of what we can afford to give the people with their money, because, remember, it's their money.
Okay.
We're not... There's no Santa Claus around.
Deputy McConnell, what's your view on what we need to do to try and bring people home, or is it just natural that people emigrate?
No, certainly people emigrating is not natural. Other countries don't have to do it, and with good management we can also achieve it. But particularly, it's been a particular problem for the likes of Donegal, and part of that has been because of the underinvestment.
Yeah.
Part of that has also been because up until the late 90s, we had a very difficult situation because of the geopolitical difficulty with Northern Ireland and the troubles. And we have lagged behind historically because of that. But, and I believe, we haven't developed in the way other parts of the country has. And if you take, for example, Kerry tourism versus Donegal tourism is a good example of that, and it shows you what remains to happen in relation to that.
Okay.
The Wild Atlantic Way, definitely, there's a lot of potential there. But yeah. One point is also very important, and if you look at IDA investment, and we have a significant number of very good employers, particularly here in the town we're in tonight, out of Kenny, for America, for example, which has been continuing to recruit throughout the recession. The existing IDA companies in Donegal are doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
They have continued to employ and increase, which shows that when you're in Donegal and when you're based in Donegal, you can be successful in business. You can create employment.
So your party wants to grow one.
So yes, and but the other thing is that's the additional employment in the last few years have come from the existing companies in the county. We have not, at a time whenever there's actually record investment into the cities in terms of new IDA investments. Mm. We are getting next to none of that. We've only had 5 trips, for example, visits by IDA to our...
Well, it's going up. It was only about 2 last year.
Out of 265 in the last couple of years.
Piers Doherty, there's no point having a job, some would argue, if all the money that you're earning from it, you know, you have very little disposable income, so you might stay away. So it's not necessarily about job creation. It's about also an environment in which to be able to have a job but actually survive reasonably comfortably on the income.
Yeah, it is, but I would say, like, you know, it's not only just about the people who've left this county over the last number of years, and, you know, we've seen that. I live in, you know, rural part of Donegal. The heart has been torn out of these communities because our young people are gone. You know, I had somebody who looked after my children, and I was talking to her, and she was 18 years of age, and she says she's fighting immigration. And that slogan, that phrase to me, actually just struck a chord with me. Like, why the hell would an 18-year-old have to fight immigration? Like, that is not the type of future we need to promise people. But it's not only just about creating opportunities for them. There's 16,000 people here who are not in full-time employment in this county. Like, you know, if we can't get employment for the people that are here, what chance do we have in terms of in other areas? Why does Donegal have the highest levels of employment?
Why do they?
Because it's lack of lack of investment. Like, it was mentioned in terms of the entrepreneur spirit, in terms of Donegal, you know, we are risk takers, you know, and that's very clear. But we've seen a lot of our traditional industries close down. We've seen fishermen. Like, you know, we have We have our islands community who are actually banned from fishing their own waters. We have coastal communities that have been decimated. But in terms of investment, and this is where the country is at a crossroads, and I'm trying to get this message across in this election campaign, the country can make a decision. The people on Friday is the day where they take the power away from the politicians and decide which direction they want the country to go in. And it really comes down in this election campaign about, do you want cuts to taxation which benefit the wealthiest, or do you want to invest? Now, our programme is about a 7.3 billion euro capital investment programme. What does that mean? It means fixing the roads that we have within our county and the roads leading out of our county. It means building the schools so that we don't have our children taught in completely prefab.
So why is no one else doing this non-issue friends proposal?
Because it's really, really popular to abolish the USC.
Yeah, but
it's a vote winner.
What you're promising? Because I don't, like, if I were Fianna Fáil, don't get me wrong, yeah, I would have a look at your policies, okay, and I would say, yeah, well, hold on a second, they're onto something here.
Yeah,
we can make everyone happy by abolishing loads of taxes, but we can also do lots and lots for them.
Why
has no one done this before?
Because it's ideologically driven. Like, the one thing in this debate, and as finance spokesperson for Sinn Féin, nobody has been able to question our figures. Because
is there
fully
another country
costed
that follows this model that we
there
can look
most
at?
Most countries in Europe follow this.
Give us an example.
For example,
go on the internet and check
In France, you go and you get free healthcare if you are sick. Yeah. It is not something that is, you know.
No, I'm on about the general sort of model.
In terms of capital expenditure, in Europe, we are the lowest in Europe at 2%. The average is 4%.
Okay.
Now, why is it important to invest capital expenditure? Because we can get our young people back and put our people back to work that have the skills in terms of carpentry, in terms of bricklaying and all the rest, but also, most importantly, building the capacity for our nursing homes and actually building the schools.
Look, Piers, you're the most high-profile politician in Ireland. You're probably known internationally. You're known on the streets of Greece. You're known on the streets of Dublin. You're known in Cork.
And in Australia, when I met the people that you sent over during your austerity policies in Canada and London and Ireland.
What have you done for rural Donegal as a TD? What's that profile? You're standing and you're articulate and you're out there in the public. What have you done for... Actually, no, I'll be more specific. What have you done for your rural area? What have you done for your parish? Name one thing you've done in your parish.
Well, one of the things that I have done has been campaigning to stop your government closing the NowDoc services.
You're not answering.
You just don't like the answer. I've just named it.
TD since 2010. Name one thing you've done as a TD since 2010.
Well, I've just named it. Your plan to... Your government's plan to close down...
What have you done? Name one thing you've done.
You don't like the answer.
Name one thing you've delivered.
If you stop interrupting.
Name one thing you've delivered.
Listen, we're not all whingers here in this county. We're not all here whingers.
You can name one thing.
You can't
name one thing.
Give him a chance now.
First of all, as an opposition TD, who doesn't have the power of being able to implement. Would you let me? Jesus Christ. Joe, for God's sake,
please have a bit of respect. Devin McHugh, just give us one second.
First of all, what we have done is ensure that NowDoc services wouldn't close down under your government. That's the first thing.
Charlie McConnell, Logan Ian McGowan.
Okay. That's the first thing.
Devin McHugh, you've asked the question.
And he hasn't answered.
Pierce, just 30 seconds to answer, and then I want to go to Deputy Pringle. Because I haven't got a stopwatch for this. Is anyone upset? We'll come around to everybody in a second. Do you want to just quickly respond to that?
I have. I said, under this government, they plan to close down NowDoc services. And I was the person who had campaigned in relation to this.
One second. Okay, we're going to have to move on because it's not going to happen. Thomas Pringle, can you come in here?
6 years. 7 years.
I've forgotten what the question was, Greg.
I can't remember myself. It was something to do
in
with...
In terms of job creation and potential for job creation in Donegal, I believe that what we have to do and what we should be doing is rolling out fibre optic broadband to every house in this county, where Donegal people will actually create their own work.
But Letterkenny have two options of broadband. Yeah, they've got fibre broadband. I was speaking to a work colleague here today who's not far outside Letterkenny, and he's on a very unreliable dongle, and he doesn't know what...
Under this government's plans, every house in Letterkenny will have two fibre optic connections in the next couple of years. Two connections. And 52% of the county will not be provided with at least... decent broadband until at least 2021 is actually the final and the final stages of it. We still don't know what the National Broadband Plan is actually going to deliver in terms of the type of broadband.
80% will be done by 2018.
Is it fibre optic broadband? Is it fibre optic
Not decided yet.
Deputy McHugh, everyone.
It'll be mobile or wireless.
One moment, gentlemen.
That's what you're going to come up with.
Gentlemen, see, everyone who's listening feels they're in that 20% though, Deputy McHugh.
52%. 52%
Charlie McConnell's been waiting very patiently.
That same point Thomas made is one I've raised regularly in the Dáil, and over the last 5 years there hasn't been a single euro invested by the government in broadband, and as he points out, the private operators have indicated that they don't have any intention of providing a service to 52% of premises. Yeah. Now, it's smaller in other counties, only Galway actually is the largest proportion of the county. So, listen, I mean, it's very hard to actually develop the county economically. It's difficult for people to actually do the things that are standard in other parts of the country, even working from home without that. And it needs to be fibre level, and we've committed to that in our manifesto. But going back to the point...
So when would the fibre broadband be rolled out?
But you would be talking about a 4 or 5 year program from the moment you start, because I would say 4 years.
That's forever. I thought that ESB were providing a system
whereby it goes straight to the ESB.
For tender at the moment, Greg. We don't know what technology.
But it's been out for a tender for ages.
Even with the best case scenario, what the government are saying at the moment is.
But if you're on Aranmore Island tonight, listen to this. You're told. You come back into it. You're told that there's no option for you at all. It's not in AIR's financial interest to go out and sort yet.
That's right.
People are still talking about what kind of system we'll be employing. Yeah. So I'm trying to get sort of maybe past all of that stuff so people know this one issue. When are they likely to get
Can I answer that
I want to go to Charlie.
The government for the last 5 years have said they were going to be introducing a national broadband.
But when will people in Aranmore Island have broadband?
They still haven't introduced it.
But when will people in Aranmore Island have broadband?
You were talking from the moment that plan is up and running.
Okay, there's no answer to that then, is there?
The expected time is four years. Because they have. It should have been here by this stage because of the fact that the investment hasn't been in place.
We have established a couple of facts on this. Donegal has the highest. Worst coverage of broadband and has to rely on the scheme. The key thing in relation to the scheme, because everybody's supportive of rolling out broadband, right, with the 100 megabytes per second, everybody's supportive of that. The key thing is, and what we've been asking the Minister and what we're committed to do, is in the tender documents that you prioritise areas that have the worst coverage. So instead of actually rolling out broadband, which is most likely going to happen when the contracts are awarded, but none of us know for sure, it'll start in Dublin and move out.
It
will feed out from the urban centres, and that's the problem. Okay, what we've asked the Minister to do is put it into the tender documents, the areas that have least coverage, and he's unwilling to do that.
You see what's going on here? That's the sad story for Ireland, what's going on here tonight. Because would I tell you one thing certain, sure, even outside my own town, 2 miles, nobody can get any coverage at all, and even for telephones, the same thing. This is what's happening in rural Donegal. The services have been drawn out of it.
Paula,
there's no interest in keeping the thing
I'll come back to you
in place or nothing else.
Yes, Paula.
Absolutely. Echo, really vital, really, really vital. The future is definitely that we need to be connected. The future needs to be that we're... And rural Ireland has suffered because of this. Yes, I live in Pierce's area. I'm using mobile and I can't run a business out of that.
I'm conscious that Councillor Shields, and then I'll come straight to you. If you're in Letterkenny, they don't know what to. They're spoiled with broadband.
Yeah, but I think during this selection campaign, it's become, you know, I've been contacted by people directly from up in Inishowen, over in Gidor, different directions, directly concerned in relation to broadband. For some people, it is a fairly frontline issue. Also, when you're on the doors, whether you're up in Inishowen or elsewhere. People up there are saying that they do believe that even within our own county, they feel they're being treated unfairly in relation to broadband being provided and indeed in relation to the way it's going to be rolled out. And people are actually quite educated in the fact that broadband Pierce has referred to there will be, will the lead out will come from urban areas rather than, you know, there being a concentration on bringing up the service up to speed in, so in rural areas.
You would favour areas that don't have, see, there's places with broadband statistically and they don't have really broadband at all.
Broadband, it just doesn't work, Greg. That's the problem.
That's actually the problem. Like, Fianna Fáil brought in a national broadband plan about 6 years ago, which actually provided useless broadband to people. Stuff. It was based on wireless and mobile.
That's gone.
It is scrapped because it had to be scrapped because of the waste of time. And the big danger now, Greg, is that the national broadband plan is on tender at the moment. We still don't know what.
There's an irony here, and all of this 4G is on the old frequencies used by RTE and all, and yet you can't even get an unmetered. Which is service through that.
The problem with 4G and that as well, and mobile broadband, is it can't handle the what people need to actually create jobs themselves. We need fibre-wrapped broadband to every premises across the country.
And that technology is
totally achievable. Okay. It's future-proofed. It'll provide the highest speed broadband and allow people to develop into the future.
And you'll be looking for that.
I have published a document calling for that. I've hammered the minister continuously on it, and we still can't get answers as to what the technology is going to be.
Deputy McHugh's got answers.
Yeah, look, in fairness, and I know I was in the chamber one day when Thomas was raising this, and I think Thomas has a legitimate point. Like, 30% of, there's going to be a government intervention, led intervention, for 30% of the rural areas which will not see commercial intervention. And at the moment, it's gone to tender. There has been no decision on who the tender or selection of tenders or combination of tenders is going to be. But the new incoming.
Can you imagine if you're sitting at home with no broadband listening?
But the new Minister for Communications will be faced with a decision, number one, roll out who's going to do the intervention, but number two, how you do this. And you mentioned Arranmore Island. I've always been the advocate, and I've agreed with Thomas this, and I'm on the Dáil record. Rather than always working out from the centre, we should be working out from rural areas in. And
Why didn't you put that in the tender documents?
You refused, when we put the question to you to do that, you refused to put that into the tender documents. And this is what really annoys me. Politicians coming here in front of their own electorate and saying something, but then when you're in the Dáil, where decisions have to be made about how resources are allocated or how we decide things, it's a completely different ballgame. And that's the reality, Joe.
There's a lot of things annoying you.
Right, we're not going to get
bottom line. A lot of things that you've done annoy me, like the cuts that you impose to disability services in this county, one-parent families, the fact that you are burdening families out there with additional stealth taxes, that annoys me and annoys a lot of people in this county, which you'll find out about on Friday,
Joe. Yeah, but I think you should direct that at Charlie now.
Why should we direct anything at Charlie? Yeah, we can go back into the history with Charlie, but the fact is you've been in government for 5 years, Joe.
Why did you pick on these people?
You want to direct it at me over the last few years and previous to that, actually, when Fianna Fáil was in government, but certainly in the pre-budget submissions we have put forward, we have been seeking to actually place the burden in a fair way and try and get the country back in a fair way and spread the recovery. And if you look at our manifesto and what we're trying to achieve in this election, Joe, it's about trying to achieve a fairer Ireland, very different to the way this current government have gone about.
Okay,
and I reference a couple of things, like, for example,
very briefly,
pharmacist payments, 1,500 families in this country who've had their payments cut as a result of the approach that this particular government has taken, and also people in terms, for example, pensioners.
What are you doing on fees? We're reintroducing our postgraduate fees.
You were giving out
on Highland Radio a couple of weeks ago about Labour Party doing a U-turn on not abolishing third level fees. We're going to target middle-income families and try and make college affordable, Pierce,
and we're going to reintroduce postgraduate residence grants so that people can actually get afford to go to college and make the most of
their talents.
We are not going to increase fees anyway.
And you're not reducing them. That's the type of double speak that the public hate. You've made the double speak point. You've denied it.
Go ahead, Desi Shields.
We seem to have flipped on to the subject of third level education, and at the moment, the going rate seems to be if you're not receiving any assistance, it's costing around €20,000 to put a child through college in Dublin. And, you know, this is one of the most major problems which our next generation's facing, because if we're getting into a situation in this country where we're going to have a two-tier education system based on means, i.e. the wealthy can go to college and the poor can't. I'm the second oldest of nine children, and I know how hard it was going back 20 years ago. But it appears now, 20 years on, when we should be a modern country who has switched on to the needs to, for all our young people to be as educated as possible.
Yes.
That we, instead what we're doing, we seem to be regressing into a situation where less and less people going forward over the next 10 years, 20 years, will be able to go and receive a proper third level education, whether it be in Dublin or indeed in Galway or in beyond.
Okay.
Just on education alone.
Councillor McGarvey, come on.
On education alone, you take the institution that's providing the universities, the one, namely the LYAT out the road here. They're very dependent on fees, number one. And they don't get it where it's going to come from as well. And
well, you answer that question. Where is it going to come from?
This is very, very important, and yeah, I think the government has to fund it again.
The government funded.
And I would like to see, we'll say, an overall picture for this country set out, and it funded as well, and all determined and calculated as well, for each and every service, because we're talking here in a random situation, we're talking about separate things altogether. We need an overall picture for this country. We're divided, partitioned, and all the rest of it. We need to include what's coming into the country, any EU funding and all that.
Okay, unfortunately, that's where we've pretty much...
So, there's a big deficit that somebody has to meet somewhere.
Of course. Well, unfortunately, we've come up against the clock. Hopefully, everyone felt that you had the adequate time.
9 o'clock, sure.
9 o'clock, Ian. I don't have the resources. I think the combined message would be that get out and vote. If you have a vote, get out and vote. Would anyone disagree with that?
No, vote for Sinn Féin and the Right to Change.
Hopefully, as many young people as possible will get out this time and exercise their right to vote as they did in the previous referendum, because there is a real opportunity in Ireland this year in 2016. Yeah. The 100th anniversary of 1916 for young people and indeed people who've felt disadvantaged and disenfranchised to take back their own destiny
people,
and okay. at the ballot box is
home.
The most powerful.
And Paul Flanagan, you're doing this on a shoestring. I don't, maybe not even a shoestring.
A thread shoestring.
one of those tattered ones. Are you enjoying the experience?
Yes, actually, it's been an incredible experience, and I really wanted to dedicate the last couple of weeks to the folks that I've met, the stories they've told, people like Ashley and Jenna who are fighting for their kids, Martin who lost his mum and has survived to tell a tale, and Michelle who's fought, you know, for her fellow students down in LYIT. You know, the vote for, you know, on Friday is not just about this year. Mm. We need to have a future focus.
And it's not just about what we're talking about either.
And why not vote not just for your family and yourself? Why not vote for the neighbour who's actually struggling? Why not vote for the friend of a friend who you know has gone through a tough time?
Joe McHugh, finally, like a cursor of blessing that Enda Kenny's not coming up here talking about whingers. He's not coming up before Friday. Do you mind?
No, I don't. Look, me and Enda has a great working relationship, and in fairness, as I got the ministerial post, he lets me carry on with issues that needs to be dealt with up here.
He leaves me to it,
yeah. And he's confident in me to do that.
Well, that's the problem, as you see, the government has always left Donegal to it.
Yeah. No, he's left me to it.
What we have to do is put Donegal as a priority. Well, in fact, I for one don't want to see Enda Kenny up here because he has nothing to offer us and he's nothing to do for us. And I would just ask people when they go out to vote on Friday to vote independent and vote for Right to Change.
And Charlie McConnell, you're faring well in the latest couple of polls.
Fine, Charlie.
Yeah, I think I would dismiss them outright.
Don't warn against complacency.
I think if you look at the polls that were carried out in previous general elections in Donegal, it showed the people who were winning the seats in the polls actually lost them on election day. Every vote is going to be crucial. There's 15, 16 candidates running. It's exceptionally competitive. I know I'm in a real fight for the seat and to hold and continue to work for the county, and I'd be asking people to come out to support me. But what I'd also say is I have heard people in the door saying, why vote, you know? And listen, you know, people did work and fought in this country to get the vote. Politics isn't perfect, life isn't perfect, but the best way of running the country is by casting your vote and having your say. And whoever people are going to vote for, and I'll be asking them to vote for me so that I can continue my work, but I would encourage everyone of all ages to come out and vote this Friday.
Vote early and vote often, isn't that what they say? Councillor McGarvey, much has been made of your age.
Pardon?
Much has been made of your
age. Of course, but they didn't say anything about this evening. That's a good thing. But the one thing certain,
well,
sir, Greg, I feel very honoured to have the opportunity to stand and offer the people the opportunity to vote for me, because I have been honest and dedicated to their people over the years in Donegal. It's practically been a lifetime thing. And I can go back so far, like.
And finally, Piers Doherty, I mean.
And I want to be honest with all of them.
The bookies have you, I think it's fourth favourite, to get the highest first preference. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised you're even turning up for these things.
Well, that's not going to happen anyway. And we know, and your opponents go round and say this in the door, and people get complacent and then don't vote. So we know that we've developed a very risky strategy here in the county in terms of standing three candidates. Each area, each of us has a small area. We need to maximise the vote there. But the message I have to people is, look, this is the first time in the history of this state that we can have a government that isn't led by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I ask people just to look around them and see what those type of governments, how they have left Donegal. Is, as you mentioned, it's the forgotten county, but we do not need to be the forgotten county. We can change it. People need to go out and vote with hope, and they need to vote 1, 2, 3 Sinn Féin and Right to Change candidates, and we have three other Right to Change candidates in the county. Well, if you sign up to Right to Change, like Thomas has and Frank and Michael Mooney, I'll definitely endorse you.
Yeah, Greg, the message I've been getting on the doorsteps is there is going to be a huge independent vote in this election, and I'd ask anybody who has had their fill of political parties over the last number of years, successive governments, to consider their vote very strongly, vote independent, and give Donegal a chance to, I suppose, get its priority in the national stage. It has been missing over the last number of years.
Is there any reason why you wouldn't have had a sort of a system where, like, vote Desi Shields 1, vote Thomas Pringle 2, or considering you're on different ends of the county? I mean, no, is there any reason why there didn't seem to be some sort of agreement between
not from my perspective, because I think when you're on independent, you're supposed to stand on your own 2 feet, and, you know...
Yes, but, I mean, the mathematics make it difficult. Thomas, would you have been in favour of that?
As an independent candidate, and there's a huge range of independents and actually in the field here in Donegal at the minute, and you know, myself and Desi would have different policies, myself and Ian would have different policies, and I would be standing as an independent candidate asking people to vote Thomas Pringle number one to keep an independent seat.
I'm going to give Paula the last word, and then that's us. Thanks very much, Paula.
Yeah, so we're looking at 2016, 100 years, and in this election we'll have the 100th woman elected. That's just the 100th woman elected. So vote for your female candidates, folks. Thank you.
Right, okay, thank you very much, all of you. Thank you very much to everyone who listened at home. We'll put a selection of the comments up online, as well as a podcast of this. So if you text into the show, it's not wasted. We'll be back with the remainder of the candidates tomorrow from 6. But for me, Greg Hughes, for this evening, and from all the candidates here, have a very good evening.